Street View Podcast is part of the Dallas Public Library's Homeless Engagement Initiative, dedicated to increasing community awareness of issues related to homelessness. The opinions expressed are solely those of the individuals and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Dallas Public Library or the City of Dallas.
How do you want to see it? What do you want to do? You got it all figured out, straight from your cube. Life's a musical, maybe a carousel. How do you want to see it? What do you want to do? Perception starts with selection. The same streets you walk on, they carry their own view. This is Street View.
Father God, right now in the name of Jesus Christ, we come with bowed down heads, asking for your wisdom and your knowledge and understanding to flow through us so that somebody else might be helped through our experiences. We love you and we thank you for all that you have done, you do, and you're going to do. We love you. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. What up, world? How y'all doing? This is Rashad Anthony Dickerson. Y'all are tuned into the Street View Podcast. And today's episode, we have a whole lot to speak on, but I'm grateful to be in the presence of more foot soldiers. There are people out here who are really willing to help us as people to promote humility, change lives, and bring forth resources so that we might all be able to say that we have an opportunity. Today on the show, we have Luis Cabrera, Charlie Piano, Mr. Malcolm Varner, and also Mr. Ryan Smith. But there's also a volunteer here, Shante Bradford, who works for the Dallas Public Library, will also chime in from time to time. So before we get started on interviewing individuals in the room, I want to take this time out to thank everybody. Position that I hold as a person who's just moderating the events that I see and the things that I know is a lifelong dream, and I'm appreciative of that. The mere fact that we're trying to help other individuals is an attest to who I am and my character, and I'm grateful for the opportunity that's provided here to learn and also to teach. And I'm asking that you guys who are all older than me, every single person in this room who has had similar experiences as well as alternate perspectives, I'd like for you guys to teach, if you will, for somebody in my position, as well as the generation I'm in, as well as understanding. Let's jump right on into this. Mr. Lewis, tell the people a little bit about what you do.
Well, I pretty much, I've become like a resource center for a lot of the people that I work with at different agencies, like the Department of Veterans Affairs, HCHV program with the Salvation Army, Metro Crest Services and Farmers Branch, you know, a bunch of different agencies here at the library. We're also volunteers and employment counselor and giving, you know, passing out job information, job leads, you know, being a resource to the people that also help out and everything. And I've also volunteer work that I do has progressed into where I'm starting my own nonprofit organization out of it and everything, and, you know, do some expanding out of it, you know. Yeah,
that's pretty awesome. So how did it all start? You just passing out resources?
Yeah, I was just released from prison back November 20th, 2013, and I was paroled to the Dallas Transitional Center over there on Stemmons Freeway. And while I was there, you know, I got out and started, when they started releasing me out to go look for a job, I was having a real hard time finding a job. I had been gone for 14 years, and getting out in search for a job, you know, I started passing out the job leads to everybody else that I was there housed with at the DTC center, and they were getting the jobs and everything, and so I just kept on, you know, all the leads I was picking up out there in the streets, passing them down and stuff, and
so pretty much it led to a job for yourself.
Yeah, eventually I found my own job. As a matter of fact, when I was out speaking, I started interviewing employers out there, different locations, different, all kinds of different, whatever, like somebody would come to me telling me they're looking for this kind of job, that kind of job. While I was out there, I would stop somewhere where I thought, you know, that would be a good place for them to work, and interview the employers. And I went to this one restaurant where I was speaking to the managers, and I would let them know what a volunteer service I do. And they ended up hiring me at that restaurant there. And that was the first job I had got. But I still continued, you know, it was an evening job, so it worked out great because I could still do what I was doing in the daytime and then go to work in the evening, you know. And that started to be my daily routine. I get up early in the morning, take off, go out there in the streets, and go interviewing the employers from different businesses, then going to work in the evenings, you know. And then I started volunteering as an employment counselor and everything. Also, I had a bunch of different agencies that had helped me out when I first got out of prison, and you know, speaking to their clients there that they were helping out to find jobs and stuff and everything with employment counseling and everything. So that's how I pretty much started off. And you know, every day I would get up in the morning and thinking, how can I do this better today, you know. And it's blown up into where I do a lot more interviewing of employers. I've got made really good contacts with them and everything. And, you know, keeping up with a lot of them who, you know, whenever they have job openings, you know, I mean, I started making these employment packages instead of going and grabbing all the information from all these different places. And I started getting, coming up upon the stuff on my own. You know what I mean?
A question.
Yeah.
You consider yourself an entrepreneur?
No, I just like helping people. You know what I mean? And trying to find better ways to do it, you know, and expand more. And that's one of the main reasons that I decided to, trying to start up this nonprofit organization so that I could train other people and get other people who also have the same passion that I have, you know, to expand even more on everything that I do.
So, Louis, do you mind giving us some insight in terms of what your nonprofit is going to be doing and in terms of what's to come with that?
Yeah, I was hoping I'd get some people that could help me keep up with the things that I'm doing with the different employers and everything, stay in contact, put these employment packages together. Keep up with my schedule. You know what I mean? As you know, I lose a lot of people who come to me for help. You know, I forget, you know, I get so many people at once, you know what I mean? And I love staying, I'm committed to the people that I help, you know what I mean? And if I tell you I'm going to help you and give me some time, I'm going to do this and do that, then I like to make sure that I'm going to do, you know, everything that I told you I'm going to do, you know what I mean? And sometimes just like so overwhelmed with so many people at one time, you know, some every now and then somebody will slip away from me, you know what I mean? And I'll realize it later on, so I'll start, you know, trying to call them back or get a hold of them, whatever kind of way. And I started off just helping out ex-felons, you know, people keep getting out of prison. Since I've been volunteering at all the different agencies around Dallas, I've been helping a lot of people with and without backgrounds, people with and without college educations, high school students, you know, and all kinds of different classes of people. And, you know, it's something I've really grown to love doing, you know what I mean? I call this my full-time job, you know.
Passing out resources. I like to call it foot soldiers. Where do you see yourself in like 3 years?
I'm hoping I can still doing all this, you know what I mean? Even in greater capacity. I thought about maybe because I've had people get into prison who I've been helping, who are showing interest in doing what I do, you know what I mean? So I thought maybe I could train some of them to do what I'm doing because, you know, the big part of what I do is, you know, is being an example, you know what I mean? And I think that's probably one of the things that's helped me out a lot because people see where I come from, my background, and it gives them a whole different outlook on the people that they the way they see people. You know what I mean? I figured that it would be good if I could get more people to they're coming out of prison to do what I do. You know.
And what are some of the resources that you've observed in Dallas?
Some of the resources?
Yeah.
Oh man, there's a lot of them. I didn't even realize that we had so many agencies that help people reintegrate. You know, from a prison. Until I sat at the Door Symposium a couple of weeks ago.
The who?
The Door Symposium, the Unlocking Doors.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Is that over at Bill J. Priest?
Yeah, the Bill J. I think that's what it is. Yeah. Yeah. Well, when I sat in the symposium, when I walked in there and seen all these different organizations, you know, it was overwhelming. You know what I mean? But at the same time, I felt at home. You know, I seen a lot of people there that I'd never seen before. And it seemed like I knew them. You know what I mean? They looked real familiar. You know what I mean? But what it was is, I've seen all these people who have the same passion that I have, you know, and that really, it motivated me a lot, you know what I mean? And that also helped me to, help inspire me to really go through with this. The team community is the name of the nonprofit I'm going to start out of this.
Team community?
Mm, yes, sir.
That's excellent. The library has the help desk here, and it's been, they wanted to expand in that same capacity. What they do is they pass out resources here. Could you name some other organizations you've dealt with as far as so that if an individual, say, needs resources, they'll be able to get it from the podcast?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right now I'm volunteering here on the fifth floor. I also volunteer with Janie Bordner's program, the Dress for Success, out there in North Dallas. At the Valley View Mall, as a matter of fact, where it's at. There, the Salvation Army, I volunteer with the Department of Veterans Affairs HCHV program. Erica Pouncey, she's the director of that program there, just for the program for the homeless veterans. She's introduced me to several other counselors they have there for the homeless program they have there at the Salvation Army. I'm also hoping to also work with the TTC program there as a volunteer. The TTC program is a therapeutic community for people getting out of prison. I was paroled there my first time. I got out back in 1996. I failed the program. You know, that was, you know, something, I guess what caught their attention as well, the counselors over there, is when I told them that I had been through that TTC program, you know, and failed it. And then they see where I'm at now, you know, so they invited me to speak over there. So that's also something that, yeah, definitely. And it's grown into an even bigger opportunity that I'll touch up with y'all here later that I wanted to share with y'all. But there's there, and there's also MetroCrest Services. That's one of the first organizations that I found when I first got out, where they helped me. They were helping not only with resume writing, but with trying to, you know, job leads and stuff like that. They've helped me brush up on computer skills that I barely had anything, you know, before I, yeah, I mean, you know, the computer thing is something really, it's real, real new to me, you know what I mean? And a lot of what they've taught me is what I've applied in the work that I do as a volunteer now. You know.
My pop came home. He had a cell phone. He didn't even know how to work it, man. He had been gone for like since like 87. And he got back in like 2007 and the phone thing was obsolete. He couldn't understand what I was doing on the computer when I came home. And yeah, man, I can understand, man. That's why we have some of the resources we have here. There were two girls here, Antoinette and Andrea. And I don't know how long did they stay with the guy? And what was the details of the guy who had just come home, who they saw here at AmeriCorps? Did he come back last week? There was a guy who had been, I believe, incarcerated maybe 20 years.
Yeah, okay, yeah, right. His story.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. So this guy, he came to the help desk towards like November of last year, and he had literally had just got out of prison. He had been locked away for over 20 years. And he had a tragic incident that happened when he was about 21 years old. But suffice it to say, he came to the help desk and he wanted to start applying for jobs. So he came to the help desk every day the library was open to apply for at least one job. And so, and then like a couple of months later, he disappeared. Now, Emma Bill and Janice, like our current AmeriCorps members, they had already started and they had worked with them. So he had basically done the rotation with all of us at some point of the time with his dedication. He came to the help desk about a week ago to give us, you know, an update on where he was. And so he's working full time through a temp to permanent position, but he's working with DHL. And he's engaged to be married. He gave us a wedding invitation for the 11th. And he was just glowing. And he had this huge just beam, this smile on his face in terms of just how excited he was. And he just expressed his appreciation for, you know, being with them. And some of those days were really challenging because he had some anger, you know, that he had to deal with and some of the frustration, you know, based on his criminal record and sort of the predicament that he was in, you know, in terms of not being being able to find an employment right away. But he worked through that and he stayed. You know, he stayed consistent. And so and he shared that good news with us. And so it was definitely a pleasure to, you know, to talk with him and listen to, you know, him to see where he's at now.
He found resources. And yeah, I think it's obvious anybody in a situation where they need to change or maybe because we know change is inevitable, may need to change or maybe have some guidance or some direction, need some type of resource to get them. If you continue in the same path, you're going to continue in the same way. Let's go to Charlie. Charlie, man, what's up, man?
Well, I'm still doing my art. You know, I quit my job in 2012 right. After some midlife crisis, and don't quit your day job. My wife died in 2009, and I had only one income, and it took me several years to eventually fail. You know, I quit my job and went to my art, my blankets, and my textile work, and it failed. First-time businesses have a bad failure rate, and in art especially. And so with the help of the Presbyterian Church, mm-hmm. they've been helping me with their art program. And I've been making sales, more sales. They get me gigs to do, to present my work out in the public. And people are now coming to me for specialty work. I'm getting more income streams coming in. You know, the more streams you got coming in, the bigger the river. So I'm not off the streets yet. I have graduated from a muddy ditch to a tent. So I do have some... something over my head now, you know. But it's still a struggle. I'm still homeless and still out there trying to make a buck, you know. But I'm trying to get my work out to the public. And even the park department came to me recently, and they want me to help organize a quilting bee at Clyde Warren Park. And I really felt gratified that they would want a homeless person in the big arts community over there. And so that made me feel very good to do that. You know, I said, yeah, sure, I will. And I've been helping them organize as far as getting donations and resources and finding people that maybe want to do this in my sector, you know, at the bridge or the stew pot, and here at the library. Anybody wants to sew, and this quilting bee we're going to have, it's going to be a nice thing for Dallas. I think get us all groups together, showing that we have a common interest, not the ogres that sometimes they portray us as, you know, that we are just one people, which is what I think is a good thing.
Yeah, I'm not a homeless person, bro. You're like an outdoor individual.
Outdoor, yeah, I'm just...
Real talk, man. And do you have a date for the quote?
No, it's just up in the air stage. We're just trying to get donations for fabric outlets to want to be involved, you know, to donate the stuff, getting people involved. The park is working with the uptown community, and I'm working with the downtown community, so... You know, I've had several volunteers that said, yes, we're interested in it, but we don't have a set date. We're trying to get a good weather and maybe June, July type of thing. And it'll be like a 1 or 2 day affair in the park. I don't know if we'll be making one blanket or two, but the idea is to make a blanket and raffle it off or sell it off and donate the money to resource centers.
How do you do it, Charlie? You get up from a muddy ditch to a tent. And then you go and do what for the rest of the day?
I do my art. I go to the stew pot and use their studio for a workplace. And when they are closed, I come here to the library. And that fourth floor has been really great about letting me work in their workspace up there. And I think it's a good use of the library resources as information and a work area. You know, I make no noise. I clean up. But I do a lot of good work up there, and it gets everybody involved. They say, well, look at this, you know, a guy sewing. What is this all about? You know, and look at what he's doing. You know, wow, it's pretty good. So, I mean, it's been a good thing all the way around for the library and myself, really a benefit to me, because it gives me two studios to work in, the stew pot and here. And now with the hours being extended at the library, it really has been a benefit.
So Charlie recently completed a really amazing piece with some ties, and I had the opportunity to see that last week, and it was just amazing. So could you tell us a little bit about that project and
how it came about? Yeah, so the ladies at the stew pod, the financial officer, she had her daddy's ties. He died in 2003, and he was a big tie freak. You know, he had his college ties from Harvard and Princeton. He was a lawyer. So he had these really expensive Italian silk ties. So she wanted a blanket made. So I grouped them together and cut them up and started making a blanket. And I showed her several examples of the way I could make it. So she picked the example of how she wanted it. You know, okay, this is what she likes. I said, okay. So then I started making the blocks and combining the ties with some of my material that was added to it, you know, to extend kind of a tie helper thing. And it was really came out well. I mean, it was a crazy quilt and a Victorian crazy quilt with hand stitching. And I learned the hand stitching here at the library. I'd never done that before. And the hand decorated stitching came out very well, I thought. And the use of materials made it just rich. I gave it to the lady last week and she even gave me a tip over the price of the blanket. So she told me, and it's the second time I've heard this, that I'm charging too low for my products. And, you know, and I don't know what to do about that, but I guess that go up on the price. But right now I need to get my stuff out, you know, and to the public, just to get my name out. That's where I'm at right now. It's more of an advertising thing to get it out. But people are starting to know me. I say the Park Service, and people are coming to me now. I got a lady that wants to merchandise my stuff over in the market district, but she doesn't have her shop set up yet. I want to do placemats and napkins, sets, stuff like that with Dallas themes, you know, like Dallas sceneries. I'm real good at doing miniatures.
Cowboy stars.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. We could do that. I'm talking about sceneries like White Rock Lake and the Fair Park, the West End, the Arts District, stuff you recognize that are Dallas, you know, and she wants for the crowd, you know, like, so it's pretty good. Different income streams.
Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Again, I want to thank everybody for coming out. I have Shante in the studio. Shante works here.
That's right. I work on the fifth floor, business and technology.
What are you guys doing up there?
Well, we have the Job Seeker Resource Center, which is actually how I met Luis. Funny enough, it was my second day here. I was sitting in the conference room, and I was definitely getting an education on ex-offenders. and resources that are available. And I think that one of the big things that we've recognized is that there's a huge gap, and that gap is transparency. And trying to recognize where those resources are and make those resources available to our patrons who need, our guests who need those resources, we really had to like canvas. And we were very fortunate to, Mark Gilman, my manager, he had shared with us that Tarrant County had produced a directory for ex-offenders. And so what we were told is that Dallas County either was in the process of producing that same directory, or that that directory had already been produced. However, we were hitting a lot of dead ends on finding that information, and we happened to run across Unlocking Doors. Mm-hmm. And so we contacted them, and we were visiting Bill J. Priest. We were doing a community engagement day. We just going out into the neighborhood and introducing ourselves to our neighbors, telling them what services we have available here. And we ran across Unlocking Doors. They actually have an office space there. So we stormed in. I'm kidding.
No. I've been. I've seen it. It's quite an office. It's like you're walking through there and there's a bunch of offices all around.
Right. We were looking at the directory and said, well, should we go introduce ourselves? And absolutely. We were so thrilled. I mean, they just had us in there and welcomed us. And they were just so glad to hear that we were reaching out. And so that's how we started that relationship. Yvonne Young was a big facilitator in doing that. Yeah. But they gave us brochures, they gave us information, and so we're now officially using them as our referral service for anyone who need resources that we cannot directly put them with.
And I hear you guys are trying to partner up with the help desk.
Yes, absolutely. So the help desk has put on basic computer literacy courses, mm-hmm. which is, again, we're trying to identify gaps in the community, like how can we provide education, mm-hmm. whether it's that or anything else that's free. Yeah. And so that's one of the things that we're partnering with, and anything else that will be ongoing in the upcoming year. We have some legal aid resources that we're looking into as well with UNT Law.
I have some computer courses for you in this bag. So before we leave, we get in contact about
absolutely,
that.
Absolutely.
So basically, I found out, well, tell the people how long you've been working here at the library.
I've been working here since January 7th.
January 7th. you love it?
I love it.
Yeah?
Absolutely. This is a wonderful place to be.
Business.
It's a good time, too.
Yeah. Business and technology. Were you guys doing the taxes up there?
Actually, that's on the 6th floor.
On 6?
Right, okay. Right.
I just wanted to know. So on the 5th floor, you guys handle employment?
Well, we try to be facilitators in helping individuals find employment. Absolutely. Right. So whether it's reaching out to Luis or any other resources we have, we definitely try to put people in the right place.
So you and Luis met up there on 5.
That is correct. Absolutely.
And what did he say to you?
It was a very long conversation. It was myself, Mark Gilman, Robert Hurst, sitting around a table. And I think I took at least 10 pages worth of notes. I mean, to tell you that I got an education, I mean, there are so many things that I did not know. But again, that goes back to transparency and the fact that, I feel like we really need to do what we can to educate our community on these issues, because everyone has their opinion, whether good or bad, what should happen, what needs to happen. But recognizing that these resources are out there, and that just at the end of the day, we all want to go to work. You know, we all want to have a place to live. We all want to have the basic needs that makes us happy.
So what was the final verdict in terms of the directory that you all were seeking? Was Unlocking Doors able to provide any information on that?
Well, they have a so basically Unlocking Doors is a network. So what they do is network with people, like whether it's City of Dallas or anyone else, and they will refer individuals to, like, say, we have employment, assistance, we have basic computer or GED testing. They would refer those individuals to us, and in turn, we would refer individuals looking for housing or anything else. So to say they're a referral service, think of like a case management service.
Collaborative effort.
Right.
Yeah.
So not a physical directory.
Right.
The one our calling has given us has been really, really beneficial. I keep them all in my car, like, because there are a lot of resources in Dallas. Right now, Mr. Luis is doing something special, and I wanted to kind of get you to talk a little bit about that.
Right.
Oh, you mean with the employment seminars I'm having here at the on the fifth floor? Yeah. When the reason I had came to the library at that time, which turned into the meeting that we had at the in the conference room where I first met Shantae, I came down here to get the current list of places that hire ex-felons, which the library is known to have the most current. And I had when I first seen the very first time I seen one of their lists was when I first got out, maybe like a month or so after I got out. Someone showed me one at the that DTC where I was at, and I asked them where to get it, and they referred me to the over here to the fifth floor over here where I think Joe was working up there at that time. And she showed it to me and everything, was telling me about some of the other resources they had here, and I didn't know that they had the employment where they helped people on the computers and everything at that time. And so at that time, I was already going around to a bunch of different agencies. And so while I was at these different agencies, I was showing them the list that y'all had here at the library. And they even agreed that it was the most current they'd ever seen as well, you know. And so when I came back that time to get another copy, because it had been a few months since I'd been over here, I've been so busy, you know, by that time I had my thing going already with these different agencies, volunteering, helping them out. And while I was here, I decided, you know what, I'm going to see if they might need my help here at the library. And so, as a matter of fact, I didn't even have to mention it. I had it in my mind, but Mark Gilman asked me, what do you do? You know, what is it you use your list for, if you don't mind me asking? So I told him about the volunteer service that I do. I told him how I just got out of prison, how everything evolved into the you know, service that I provide for the community. And he's like, you know what, we could use your help here. You know, would you be interested? And I was like, yeah, I sure would. And he goes, okay. And he's like, well, you know what, why don't we set a time and a date when we can sit down and talk about this with me and my staff? You know what I mean? And I'm like, all right, we'll do that. You know, and I left that day. Well, he didn't have a printed copy for me. He was going to email it to me. And so I left, and then a couple of days later, I realized, you know, he never did send me the email, so well, I'm going to have to go back in and talk to him again. And when I came back, Mark was like, hey, if you have time, we can sit down today, you know, get my staff together. Everybody's here, you know, and so I'm like, okay. So that's when we sat down and we talked about the things that I was doing, the service I was providing for the community. We talked about having employment seminars here. And, you know, Mark and everybody, they were kind of picked at my brain a little bit about things I was doing out there and the resources that I had acquired out there. So I started doing the employment seminars, and also another job that I have, I'm a field representative and recruiter for an HR group that operates out of Canada, United States, Puerto Rico, and Mexico. They're called Capacity Builders. I worked for them 16 years ago, like a year and a half or something before I got locked up. I walked away from some training that the president of the company, who I thought was a field manager back then, he was giving me some training, and he went, you know, as a field representative. Then I walked away from it and went back to doing things I was supposed to be doing. Eventually got locked up. But when I got out, you know, I posted a lot of things that I was doing on LinkedIn, and I had tried to reach out to him before that and didn't have no luck. And then one day he contacted me, you know, out of nowhere. And he'd found me on LinkedIn, found the service that I was providing to the community there. And he wanted me to go back to work for him. But I told him that, you know, I didn't, I already had a job. I was working the evening, and I told him I'm not letting go of what I do in the daytime, you know. So I told him, you know, I could send some people to work for you if you have jobs out here in Dallas. So we agreed on that. And he offered to pay me for recruiting for him, you know, but I told him I refused it. I said, you know, because I do this as volunteer, you know what I mean? And anyways, so I was doing that for him on a volunteer basis. And then later on down the line, I was right when they started, the train started going to DFW Airport. I met this one woman at the train station, and she was telling me she worked for a company out there. It's a private jet company out there in DFW. And she asked me if I would go down there, she could introduce some people out there. Maybe I could convince them to start hiring ex-felons out there and stuff. You know what I mean? So when I went out there that following week, right after the ribbon cutting ceremony, on my way back, I seen all these new developments going on right along the rail line. So I went to MetroCrest Services, where they were teaching me how to use computers, and they taught me how to take aerial photos, you know, and send them, email them, you know what I mean? So I took aerial photos of that location where all this development was going on. I sent them to Wayne Roush, who's the president of Capacity Builders. And I was telling him, you know what, you need to get somebody down here. Look at all this is going on, you know what I mean? A few days later, I called to see if he got my email. After we talked a little bit, you know, we agreed that we came to an agreement that I would go back to work with him as a field representative. Well, a few months later, it was like maybe several months later, which was just recently, 2 weeks ago, I decided I had an idea about maybe seeing if they could operate as a construction company out here in Dallas, because there'll be a lot more, I see a lot more opportunity for capacity builders to establish itself here in Dallas as a construction company. So he told me that if I could get together what we needed to get together here in Dallas to do so, that, he'd give me the chance to do it. And I asked him what we needed here, and he said we need a bidder for the contracts, you know, that we land on there. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna try to see if I can come up with you know, what we need. And I had already found somebody who could be a really good supervisor, you know, to work. And as a matter of fact, I met the guy here at the library. I had him apply, and he's kind of on standby right now, you know what I mean, until we get things going. Well, anyways, my first employment seminar, I was talking to several men who were there to, you know, get job leads from me and everything, and I was counseling them a little bit on a lot of these companies I was sending them to apply for jobs. One guy came, sat next to me, and handed me his resume, and so I looked at it, and it was exactly what I needed for the a guy who was an engineer. He just moved out here from Pennsylvania. A guy had did work for the military. You know, he's done bids. He's, you know, he's an engineer and everything, and he had all the qualifications I needed. You know what I mean? And I got him a job where I work at right now, Mi Cocina, Preston Forest Center over there. He works in the evenings, so that when I get things going with capacity builders, he's going to work for us in the daytime. And that was one of the things that it was my very first employment seminar here at the library that where this happened. You know what I mean? Yeah, and I've also been able to also recruit some more men to apply for capacity builders, so that when we do get things together, you know, I have some men ready to work, you know, if they don't already have jobs. You know,
so basically, everything you've done has been to help others, and now you're getting ready to start a non-for-profit.
Yes. Yeah, not Team Community.
Team Community.
Yes, sir. I'm taking all the ideas that I've gathered from all the different agencies that I've been working with as a volunteer, putting the main focus on the things that I can see could benefit every single one of these different organizations, you know what I mean? I'm not trying to put together anything that's going to be in competition with any of them or anything like that. I'm not trying to take from nobody. I'm trying to help everybody, you know. And I see where there's a need, and I'm going to try and fill that need with Team Com. I need more foot soldiers. Yeah, definitely that. You know, because I'm practically being the one man Team Com, you know, all this time. One of the things that I love about what I'm doing is I'm bringing all these different agencies together. Networking together. I'm working with a lot of different clients from all these different agencies, meeting more new people every day. You know, I mean, I really love it. It's something that's really overwhelming for me, you know what I mean? And Team Com will give me a chance to expand on it more, you know what I mean? Get more people into the mix and reach out a lot more. You know,
I definitely agree with you. Continue putting yourself in positions of networking and resources, and you continue to prosper in that area. It's just, you know, a reward thing. It's almost like a law. Do right unto others, you know, and you would have them do unto
And that's
you.
Exactly one of the things that motivates me, you know what I mean? Yes, right. You know, love everyone the way, you know, you love yourself, you know what I mean? Love your neighbor as you love yourself.
And so I'm pretty much grateful that there are foot soldiers. I'm pretty much grateful that you done some time, you came back, and you had your head on straight. How do you do it, man? What motivates you every day?
Is getting up. I mean, thankful to our Father Yahweh in heaven, you know, for giving me this opportunity. You know what I mean? I look back at the life that I've lived, and there's no way I deserve any of this. But I decided I don't want no part of any of that, the man I used to be. So, and that's brought me into this entirely new life, you know, a new group of people that I associate with. A new perspective towards life, outlook. A lot of the things that I used to do, the drinking, the drugging, the being out in the streets and partying all the time, I don't even have the urge for any of that no more. I'd rather have these great things that I have now in this life, you know, than to ever do anything to fall back behind.
Plus you have joy and you have peace.
Yeah, definitely that. Yeah. A lot of peace.
It's a beautiful thing. Charlie, you got joy and peace in that tent, man?
Yeah, more or less. I'm getting more work done, better work. I think it's more beautiful stuff. I'm giving it to the glory of God. I just did a piece for the Presbyterian Church to hang on the wall in their church. They have a wall that's messed up, and so we did it's called the I Am Wall, and we're taking I Am pieces out of the Bible. And mine was I Am the Resurrection and the Life, mm-hmm. And I got a nice picture from the illustrated Bibles on the fourth floor and reproduced it and then sewed the Technicolor sewing thread into it, and it really came out nice. And so I give that gratis to the church, because I thought I needed to do that. You know, they provided me with so much that I need to give back a little bit to them. And so it's hanging on the wall at the, it'll be up till Easter, and maybe that's a good thing. You know, I mean, I try to combine the different types of religions together. I did a piece that had Hindu and Christianity together. Now I'm going to do one with Celtic and Islam. and Islamic figures. And I think it's going, this, the combination of the groups is what I get into.
It's like knitting together cultures, huh?
It's it. It's combining the different aspects of community, you know, and that's a good thing. I think I've always done that ever since school days, is try to get the groups together, you know, instead of fighting each other. We get together and we do so much more. So I do have a little bit of peace in my tent.
Shanice, peace and joy on your job?
Absolutely. I mean, without a doubt. I mean, when you can come in every day knowing that you're going to make a difference in someone's life. I mean, and it's, I know that at the root of that, it sounds kind of selfish that you're actually the person that's facilitating that change. I don't look at myself as a facilitator. I'm just a helper. I mean, most people really, at the end of the day, have to help themselves. I'm just showing you what pieces you need to put it together.
Yes, ma'am. I definitely understand. It's the best job to have as a servant.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm thrilled to be here.
Can I make an observation, Rashad?
Please, please do.
So, in listening to sort of our guests today and just thinking about the notion of community, I just think that it's sort of amazing that these things are being able to sort of develop and take fruition here at the library, which is a place of resources. And listening to Charlie speak about sort of the inner sort of woven communities, our religions, you know, in his work. Louis sort of meeting these people who are helping him, are going to help him along with the work that he's doing. And obviously the connection between him and the fifth floor and what we're doing at the help desk and letting sort of our customers know what's going on Tuesdays and Wednesdays on the fifth floor with the job source resources. It's awesome. And so just to have that interplay, you know, between all of us, and it just speaks to sort of the notion of community and what that represents and what it means, and giving us that all that opportunity to sort of be a part of that, I think is awesome.
And I do too. And that's why I want to kind of right now try to link up with individuals who are willing to also either pass out resources or are in need of resources. Well, what we're going to do here at the library is we're going to take your information. We're going to store it at the help desk so that people can easily and readily access you should they need. Go ahead.
It's already stored, Rashad.
It's already stored.
We can store some more. And make more copies. That's okay. Certainly not a problem.
Also, if you want to go ahead and verbalize it here right now so that individual can contact you, feel free.
You can find my information. I have a employment package posted on my LinkedIn account, www.linkedin.com, and just search Lewis, L-U-I-S, last name C-A-B-R-E-R-A, Jr. And I'll pop up right on top of the list as working at Mi Cocina restaurant.
Shanice, you'll be here on the fifth floor.
I am here on the fifth floor. And I also want to add that Luis is also doing job search assistance for anyone open and needing assistance with job search here in Dallas or in Tarrant County or...
I've helped people all over, yeah, from Dallas to Fort Worth to Allen, McKinney, you know, that's reached
and
pretty far.
I'll just leave our phone number for business and technology. It's 214-670-1608. He's here every other Tuesday and Wednesday, 10:30 on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to go ahead also and ask Charlie if there's a way of communication so that individuals could get in touch with you about tapestry.
Well, let's see. You'd have to contact me through the Stewpot Arts Program at First Presbyterian Church on Harwood. And the Stewpot is located on Park Avenue behind the church across from Young Street. Cynthia Branham is our coordinator of our arts program, and we have to contact her to get hold of me. I do not have a cell phone at this time.
But you are here at the library.
I'm here at the library a lot, and fourth floor mainly, and you'll spot me around town with the cowboy poncho on, yeah, which I made. And so I remember
when you got that snuggie.
So I still have the poncho. It's made of repair, but I still wear it. And it's the only cowboy poncho out there, and you'll see it. Getting a cell phone, my next big hit, I guess, on my work.
And the number for the Stewpot, for anyone who needs to contact them on Charlie's behalf, is 214-746-2785.
Again, the number was... Just to make sure.
That number is 214-746-2785.
So, Mr. Louise, we were talking earlier, and you were talking about the, I guess I could call it a forum you wanted to do, a large gathering. What's that about?
Well, it started off when not even a week ago, I was invited to speak in front of a group at the Salvation Army. Well, I had got the wrong impression about the group that they wanted me to speak in front of. I was thinking they wanted me to speak in front of the group from everybody there at the Salvation Army. And there's like several different departments there on that one building, men and women's side. They have the veterans program, ACHV program, whose director is one of my best networking partners and the one who introduced me to everybody else there. They have the homeless shelter part there, whose counselors are the ones who invited me to speak there at the Salvation Army. They have a TTC program there, which is a therapeutic community of people that were paroled to from prison to this program, which was the first program that I was paroled to when my first time down when I got out. I went through that TTC program there. Well, anyways, I had contacted Erica Pouncey with the HCHV program there and was asking her more information on the group that they wanted me to speak in front of. And she informed me that they didn't want me to speak in front of the entire Salvation Army, just for the homeless group there. You know what I mean? And so I was like, well, how would I go about being able to speak in front of all the departments in one group? And she was telling me they couldn't do that there because they're all contracted by different people. But if I had it, somewhere else off the grounds, then they could transport everybody to it, you know, to the event and everything. So I had I was talking to this one friend of mine who also volunteered for her program at the Dress for Success at Valley View Mall, Janie Bordner. And I was telling her, you know, what happened and everything. And I told her, well, I got to find somewhere where I can have this, you know, this event so I can speak to everybody there. And she's like, well, you know, she offered to help me get a place there at the Valley View Mall where they seat 350 people, the auditorium there. So when she told me this, I seen it as an opportunity to maybe have the first team comm event, you know, a team community event. So I was in contact with some of the employers that I've spoken to through the time that I've been doing my volunteer service. Some people that I had interviewed from businesses when I first started and been keeping in contact with and even became friends with them. You know, I told them, I was calling them to get more job leads and talk about some other things that they wanted to get in and more involved in the community. And I was going to bring more information to them about, I was letting them know what was going on with that, right? There and they were all for it. They really do want to get involved. I have several different people from different businesses who want to attend and give a motivational speech along with me at this event. And I've also been offered a donation of some snacks for this group, you know, for this event. And so right now I'm working on getting all that together, you know what I mean? And the library, MetroCrest Services, a bunch of different other agencies that I've worked with as a volunteer, I'm inviting them to also come down, you know, and be there, be a part of it. Also going to work on getting some of these businesses maybe sponsor in the event, and they can also do their, you know, promote their businesses. Also,
an event.
Yeah, recruit people. Yeah, that's right, you know. For people to fill their job openings that they have in their, you know, locations and everything. I mean, you know, and one of the big things that I'm working on with Team Comm is to make everything free of charge completely to not only to the people who I'm helping find jobs and employment, but also to the community, the business, people, the businesses and everything. You know what I mean? That's one of the big things for me is to make everything free of charge and accessible.
So with Team Comm, are you like fully staffed now?
No, I'm the only staff there is right now. Finally, I have a couple of my board members, Johannes Branch, who's with the DISD. He's one of my board members, and Ralph Jerry Heelan, who is he has Yahweh's Evangelical Assembly, which is the assembly I'm a part of. I've been with them for 4 years. I came across them while I was locked up and was starting to get into the Word and everything, and I've been really strong with that assembly since then. And they're my board members, and we're just trying to get the paperwork together, you know, and sit with our attorney, with the Perlinski Law Group, who are also well known for helping non-profit organizations, you know, pull together and everything.
So you're walking through the 501c3 process at this point. Are you gone through that?
What we're doing, we're trying to decide which one's best for Team Comm, the Texas, I think it's Texas 204 form or the 501c3. Yeah, we're deciding which one of those would be best for Team Comm to operate under right now.
How's it feel, man?
It feels really good. You know what I mean?
I mean, Matt, from a Matt to
from a prison cell, Matt Sig, to this new life right here, man. It's just completely different from, I feel like, it's everything's just really different, you know, from what I've known my whole life, you know what I mean? No, it's everything just happening, you know, unexpectedly, you know, and everything's pulling together so fast, you know, and coming together really, really well. I'm real confident, man. I'm real confident how things are falling in place. You know what I mean? I've been real blessed. It's been a real blessing working with so many really good people who have the same passion that I have, you know, for life, for helping others. And yeah, for love, for networking, for, you know, helping pick up the next man. You know
that
what I mean?
That peace and that joy right there.
Right. That's it.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Charlie, my brother. Like, I don't get to see him until I do a podcast with him. Like, you have to understand, he's in the same place every day and I'm running. And I'm ripping and I'm running. And I'm grateful to have you on the show, man. Much love. You've been an inspiration to me.
Where else we want to go? I mean, are you hiring for Team Calm?
Am I hiring for Team Calm? At the moment, I have some people who are interested in probably working and volunteering for Team Calm. So what I let them know is, let me get things together. And if you're still interested, after I do get everything on its feet, then you're more than welcome to come along. You know, I've met some people here at the library with some, outstanding qualifications, you know what I mean? Experience in administration and customer service, which I also want Team Calm to be real big on is customer service, you know what I mean? I think that's very important, you know, to run a successful business or organization or anything.
Yeah, communication, man. Without that's communication, right. You have nothing.
That's
bro.
Right. You have nothing. That's right.
Communication is an agreed upon set of symbols, man. And you have to agree upon the symbols in order to communicate effectively. I want to go ahead and open the floor to volunteers. If individuals like Luis, like Shantae, or individuals like Charlie want to volunteer here at the library or any of their functions, I'd reach out to Luis. You could also reach out to us here at the help desk.
So in terms of the help desk, our number is 214-670-1769. So feel free to contact either number if you're interested in any sort of volunteer opportunities.
This word goes to individuals who are like Charlie or Luis or myself, who might be frowned upon in some capacity because we're not what we consider to be average or normal. Charlie, all the opportunities that have come to you, I've been there and seen Charlie's progression in a lot of capacities. I was actually, while I was doing my errands running around the cities, I would see clothes here and there, and Charlie would take those clothes, wash those clothes, and make blankets and backpacks from them. And I've seen you come a very, very long way. And that's why this word is to individuals who have been in our situation, in our circumstances, because just because it doesn't seem normal or standard doesn't mean it can't profit you if it's something that you've grown and practiced, if it's something that you've utilized your lifetime and you've become patient and a patron of whatever the talent may be or the passion may be. It does not stop you from excelling. Just like you, I'm sitting behind this mic, man. And that came from love. That came from straight above. Didn't come from me. Being honest with you and helping people like Charlie. And Charlie helping me, helping people like my friend Richard and different individuals who are actually in need of resources has been a major resource to myself. It's been, for me, it's people say, you know, love your neighbor as you would love yourself. Never do I say, you know, I got to love me first. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. And in doing such, I am loving myself because the resources are helping others, but there are resources that are also helping me. And I'm grateful for that. That's a real good thing. I appreciate it. I appreciate having everybody on the show. But again, volunteers, if you're willing to, you can reach out to us. One of the craziest stories I ever heard on a podcast was the guy from City Square. City Square came and he said when he first started, he couldn't speak Spanish. And he was up there at the food pantry and he couldn't speak Spanish and he needed somebody to speak. Well, a lady said, I can help you. I speak both English and Spanish. And so he said after that, they started putting on their applications. Can you help us? At the bottom of the application, as far as volunteers, and it started flowing. And it came. I want you to keep that in mind. You're getting ready to start Team Calm and the help desk. We appreciate what you guys are doing because, you know, there's a lot of gaps.
And I appreciate y'all welcoming me and giving me the opportunity to do what I love doing, you know, the library.
Yeah, man, please don't stop. Don't stop, man. And I'm going to go ahead and get in contact with you and you get in contact with me and we'll continue to link up because I know a lot of different people in a lot of different places who really, really want to help. And there are a lot of experiences we could link together. So with that said, I want to go ahead and close down the podcast if you guys are okay with that. Everybody good? All minds are clear? Okay, let us pray. Father God in heaven, right now in the name of Jesus Christ, we come with love and peace and humility flowing between us, God. We're grateful for the love. We're grateful for your understanding, God. We ask that somebody has helped through our actions, God. Somebody have heard our words and maybe they might have heard something that might be inspirational to them. God, we pray for your love and your peace to saturate our whole existence. And then that would shake off and rub off on somebody else that we might not see hate and anger, but we would see love and peace and joy. Thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Street View. You can visit us online at streetviewpodcast.com. Tune us in again next time for more discussion.